Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
On first down, play pass, pressure. Smith sees it near side. It's intercepted. Ha ha, Clinton Dix has number two on the year for him. It's almost like he ran the route.
And that's interesting because that was new Bear Ha Ha Clinton Dix intercepting an Alex Smith pass as a Packer.
That's right.
And then Clinton Dix was later dealt to Washington. Here to talk about that Washington Ha Ha Clinton Dix experience and give us some inside information about the newest Bear is Tariq El-Bashir, who is on Twitter at Tariq_El-Bashir, the Athletic senior writer who covers football and hockey in Washington. Tariq joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, home of F-150s for $229 per month. Tariq, how are you?
Good afternoon, fellas. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. I wonder if you can get into first here how the deal materialized. I think Bears fans trying to understand why the Packers let go of Ha Clinton Dix. Washington's interest in him is a good place to start here with the newest Bear.
Yeah, well, the Redskins last year got off to a really good start defensively. They were playing great up front. The back end was inexperienced with the exception of DJ Swearinger and Josh Norman, but they were getting the job done. And then around week four or five against New Orleans, they got lit up by Drew Brees. And the brain trust decided they needed to bring in some more experience. So they get a fourth-round draft pick for Ha Ha, 26-year-old, you know, proven veteran safety, in the hopes that he was going to come in and solidify that back end and get the defense back on track. It never happened. The defense continued to struggle after that week five loss to New Orleans. They had some decent showings, but for the most part, they never really got back to the way they had played those first few weeks. And there was a lot of head scratching at Redskins Park. They couldn't figure out why Clinton Dix, just for one reason or another, wasn't able to come in and give them the impact that they had hoped for. In those first, you know, seven games with Green Bay, he had three interceptions, a forced fumble, was playing well. And then he got to D.C. and he just wasn't able to really assimilate and get comfortable in the scheme. I thought he played well against the run most games, looked a little lost in coverage other games, and made some costly mistakes. He just made some costly mistakes. But I'll tell you this, the Redskins were still interested in bringing him back, but they had assigned a free agency value to him, and once he exceeded that value and he went on that visit with the Bears, I think they were resigned to the fact they were going to lose him.
What's he like in the locker room?
I liked him personally. I think his teammates liked him. He's a big personality. You know, I think he was quiet those first couple of weeks, but he's a big personality. And when you talk to Jay Gruden and other people on the coaching staff here in Washington, what they'll tell you is they really like his habits. They like his practice habits. He practiced at full speed. They liked his preparation. He spent extra time in the meeting rooms. He talked to the younger guys. They liked his leadership. They liked every single thing that he brought off the field. They just couldn't, for the life of them, figure out why he wasn't able to get it done on Sundays. And that's not to say that he had a bad season in Washington. He just didn't deliver the type of impact that they were hoping for. And that all said, they still were willing to maybe give it another year, but once he got into that $3-3.5 million price range, they tapped out and he ended up a Bear.
So Washington signs Landon Collins, right? And he's kind of that more traditional, well, I'll let you describe him as best, but kind of that more traditional box safety, a little bit more of a tackler. He's less Ha Ha Clinton Dix than he is toward the Sean Taylor end of things, I guess. But when you look at trying to mix Ha Ha Clinton Dix in as a free versus a strong safety, did Washington err in what they were asking him to do? And how does Collins' signing point to how they missed on Clinton Dix?
Maybe. I think that's actually a very good point. You know, and one thing I haven't mentioned yet is, and I wrote a really big story for The Athletic DC towards the end of the year was just kind of how the defense in Washington really fell apart inside and outside down the stretch. There was a lot of inner turmoil that last half of the season. DJ Swearinger kind of went off the rails. He criticized his teammates in practice. He criticized the defensive coordinator. Josh Norman was he got benched for the first half of the New Orleans game, and then there seemed to be some friction between him and Swearinger. There was a lot of stuff going on with the defense in that second half, and I think that in some ways made it harder for Clinton Dix to get comfortable and kind of find his role. And I do think that Washington realized that they erred a little bit in terms of the type of safety they targeted with Clinton Dix. That's why they went out and got Landon Collins. You know, Collins obviously is a guy they signed to a 6-year deal, $84 million. They're expecting him to be a starter for a long time here in D.C., but you're exactly right. You know, he's a versatile safety, in my opinion. You know, I've been able to watch him, you know, while playing for the Giants the last several years. I consider him a versatile safety, but I think you're exactly right when you say that he's a little bit more of a box guy, a little bit more of a run stuffer. And I do think that they're going to now build their defense around Landon. You know, here's a player that they've coveted for a long time, and they haven't spent a whole lot in free agency in recent years. It's not the good old days of Dan Snyder gassing up Redskins 1 and flying all over the country and signing everyone that he can find. They've been a little more prudent. They did their homework, and they felt like Landon is going to be the guy that can solidify the Redskins back in for a long time.
I'm interested that you described Clinton Dix as decent in the run and struggled a bit in coverage, because when we have heard from those who observed him in Green Bay, it was somewhat the opposite. It was a guy who had really good feet in coverage, but either took bad angles, got late reads, or simply guessed wrong against the run sometimes. And or there are some who believed he got to the point where he played as if he were concerned about getting hurt and didn't really lay the wood to people in the run game.
You know, that's an interesting point there. I hadn't heard anything about – I hadn't heard anyone mention to me that he played conservatively. But, you know, we all know that does happen to players when they are kind of eyeing what's next for them. I hadn't heard that from any of my Washington sources. I can just tell you from what I observed, you know, and there were some critical mistakes that I alluded to earlier. Just plays that needed to be made at critical junctures in games, and they didn't get made. And I'll give you an example. When the Redskins playoff hopes were basically on life support by the time they got to Tennessee late in the season, but they still, if they had beaten, you know, an average Titans team, they still would have had some hope. I mean, the Redskins season really kind of ended when Alex Smith's injury happened. That's a story for another day. But they had a chance to win that football game. They got off to a really good start. Clinton Dix had an interception, a tailor-made. I mean, it was going right into his hands. It went through both hands. It was a missed opportunity. The Titans got a first down, got a field goal, and they kind of got into a little bit of a roll, and I felt like that was a big turning point in that game. You know, you never want to say that a loss is on one guy, and it certainly wasn't on one guy, but that was a play that if that interception had been made around the 20-yard line, the Redskins own 20, that would have turned that first half around a little bit. And those were some of the key mistakes. And when you talk to Redskins coaches about things they needed him to do, I mean, he had 3 interceptions in his first 7 games with Green Bay. He didn't have an interception in the final 9 games with Washington. So, you know, they were hoping they were going to be getting a playmaker, a guy who could make those clutch plays, and instead, you know, he wasn't able to make them. And I just think there were so many moving parts, man, with that defense in Washington. I mean, it really was coming apart at the seams by the end of the year. And, you know, I think Clinton Dix is a good player. I just think it was a poor fit here in Washington. I think he's going to be okay for the Bears. And I like the deal that he agreed to. I mean, 1 year, $3.5 million, he'll be 27 coming out of it. I think that's a guy, you know, he had other offers too, including, you know, some interest from Washington. That's a guy who's betting on himself. And so I think, you know, you're going to get the best from him next year, because, you know, he knows that he's going to set himself up for that big 27, 28-year-old contract on the back end of that.
Talking with Tariq El-Bashir, who covers Washington for The Athletic. You can follow him on Twitter at Tariq_El-Bashir. Just checking in, what is the word on Alex Smith, and how are things with him?
Not great. he suffered that horrific broken leg, you know, a tib-fib fracture in, against the Texans on November 18th. And, you know, went into surgery that night. First surgery, there were some complications. There were some there was an infection. I heard he had as many as five or six surgeries, you know, in the weeks and months after that. He was still in the hospital for like 3 weeks after that. The Redskins haven't, you know, for obvious reasons, you know, said a whole lot. They've been trying to protect his privacy a little bit. But, you know, in the day and age of Instagram, you know, his wife, he's still going out and doing things. His wife takes pictures of them. And one of the most recent pictures we saw, he still had an external fixator on his leg,
wow,
which is that contraption that kind of looks like a halo when someone breaks their neck. And,
yep,
you know, there's rods going through the skin, holding the bone together. This is a couple of weeks ago. So you're talking about, what, 3-4 months now removed from a bad break, and you're still having your leg held together externally? It's a rough situation. You know, his contract was completely guaranteed, $71 million for injury. That's why players who have leverage negotiate those types of deals, because you just never know when you're going to suffer one of those injuries. He's going to give it his all. I mean, from what I was able to learn of Alex Smith the first couple of months I covered him, he's going to give it his all to get back on the field. But I can tell you the Redskins aren't counting on him in 2019, and you know, if it doesn't happen at all this year, I have a tough time seeing him getting on a football field again.
Well, although, I don't know if you saw the story, Tariq, that apparently, was it Clemson's pro day, J.P. Losman, who's 38 years old and is one of their coaches, was apparently, he was so impressive in throwing at a pro day that one team actually asked him if he wanted to come out of retirement and play again. He's like, no. And I'm thinking, if we live in that world, we've got to give Alex Smith every single chance, and maybe, you know, if he needs 2-3 years to recover, he's probably got it.
I'll tell you this, when I talk to friends who aren't in the business but are just football fans, I often tell them, look, there's 32 jobs for starting quarterbacks in the world. We have roughly 7 billion people on earth, and for some reason we can only find 15 competent starting quarterbacks at any given moment. The rest of them are just out there doing the best they can. It's really amazing to me how hard that job is. And, you know, the J.P. Losman story, it just goes to show you, man. I mean, teams are so desperate for arm talent, it's unbelievable. A guy can go out there on a pro day helping out a kid that he coaches, and a coach and a scout goes, whoa, look at this guy's arm. He's only 38. Maybe we can squeeze a year or two out of him. At least get him into camp and, you know, have him help our team. When I read that yesterday on Twitter, I laughed out loud.
I did too. You know, we were laughing about it here because, you know, in Chicago is where we saw them find Josh McCown. Remember,
yeah.
Josh McCown was coaching high school. And
yeah,
they said, all right, well, we'll kind of have him here, and he's a nice guy. And the guy ends up making another, like, $15, $16 million just because of the dearth of quarterbacks. It's unbelievable.
Guys, Josh Johnson started the final, what, 2 games in Washington last year? He was playing in a charity basketball tournament when they called him. I mean, yes, the Redskins were on their 4th starting quarterback at that point of the year. But here's a guy who hadn't thrown a football in months. He was a AAF first-round draft pick playing in a charity basketball game in his hometown of Oakland, and now Doug Williams is on the phone going, hey, Josh, when was the last time you threw a football? We might need you.
And they did.
And they did.
Tariq, great stuff. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
That is Tariq El-Bashir of The Athletic.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.